or go to give to WBAI.org online. Give to the number 2, WBAI.org online. The time now is 1 p.m., so stay tuned.
And welcome to another episode of Questioning Everything with Tony Bates. On today's program, we're going to take a listen to excerpts from a recent interview which I caught on WBAI's exclusive and exceptional program, Leonard Lopate at Large, which airs here on 99.5 FM New York, Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. On this program, Mr. Lopate's guest was New York Times global economy correspondent Peter S. Goodman, author of the new book, Davos Man, How Billionaires Have Devoured the World. In the recent reporting on just how much of the world the uber wealthy have eaten, it's ugly, y'all. Apparently, they're not just thirsty, they're also hungry. Well, as we've been taught by many commentators here at WBAI University, from Amy Goodman to David Rothenberg to Imhotep Gary Bird to many folks on this station, the class of people, this particular class of people, the billionaire class, see tragedy as opportunity. And while the tragedies often seem to have no effect on their class, they impact folk like us greatly. We find ourselves on the front lines, facing down the consequences of said condition while they continue to make absurd profits at our expense. And if you don't think you've been personally affected, take a look around the sidewalks in your neighborhood. Count the amount of tents you see there. Not just that, count the amount of human beings you see living there that weren't there 2 years ago before pandemic began. Many of those people, many of those families had jobs and livelihoods and homes until they didn't anymore. These are folks just like us in many cases who have fallen on hard times. And meanwhile, the billionaire class continues to expand its wealth. I'm going to read to you guys from a Business Insider article that was published just last week, written by Juliana Kaplan and Madison Hope. Check out just how much of the world's wealth, which in some abstractions equals the output of you and I, the working class, just how much of our energy this hungry bunch of pirates has eaten in the last 2 years during the pandemic. It's shocking. I mean, if you're paying attention, if you haven't been paying attention, it's shocking. Reading from the article, it's not a secret that the last 2 years have shaken up the world economy. From March 2020 to now, the pandemic has reshaped pretty much everything, and from where and how people work to people's finances. But report after report has shown that the last 2 years have proven lucrative for the wealthiest Americans. According to the new Oxfam media brief, American billionaires saw their wealth grow by 62% between March 2020 and March 2022, based on Forbes data. At the same time, workers' wages have risen 10% from $28.79 in March 2020 to $31.73 in March 2022. According to average hourly earnings data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This isn't a perfect comparison of gains between billionaires and the average American worker during the pandemic, because it's showing wealth gains of billionaires versus earnings gains of workers. According to the data on household wealth from distributional financial accounts, overall wealth of the top 1% has increased from $30.73 trillion in the first quarter of 2020 to 45.86 trillion in the fourth quarter of 2021, an increase of 49.2%. At the same time, the bottom 50% has seen their wealth increase from 1.86 trillion to 3.73 trillion. I'm sure you've all got some of those trillions. Ha ha ha. Back to the article. We can reduce poverty in the U.S. and we can follow a straight path to do it. Tax the rich. Invest in working families, the brief says. I'm going to pause in the article here and ask again, how many times have you heard Professor Richard Wolff of Economic Update say this very thing for years and years and years on this station? This is why your donations are so important. We have been telling this story already here at WBAI. It's great to see the mainstream catching up to us, but we've been doing the work you sent us to do. Please keep that in mind. According to an analysis of Forbes data from the left-leaning Americans for Tax Fairness, billionaire gains were closer to 70% as of April 5th, 2022. According to that analysis, Elon Musk's net worth increased $266 billion, or 1,080%. From March 18th, 2020, to April 5th, 2022. I digress. That's why he just bought Twitter. That's why an oligarch now owns one of the spaces where we communicate with each other most often. The idea of this sort of thing, of a single individual owning that kind of power, ought to startle us all. Back to our article. We've run upon a chart here that's titled Change in Wealth of Billionaires Over the Pandemic. Let's look at a few of them directly. Elon Musk, net worth April 5th, 2022, $290.29 billion. His change in net worth since March 18th, 2020, April 5th, 2022, $265.69 billion. Jeff Bezos, net worth as of April 22, $189.83 billion. Wonder if Amazon could afford to send some tents out, some food out, some housing out for some of those people living in tents. Just a question. Bill Gates on the chart, $135.2 billion. Previously, his net worth was $37.02 billion. Going back to March 18, 2020. Warren Buffett, $124.19 billion. His previous net worth, $56.69 billion. You get the trend. They are making tons of money while we, the working class, are struggling, are moving increasingly onto sidewalks. Something is wrong in our country. Something has to be done about it. That's the basis of this kind of conversation that we get to have on WBAI. It's our responsibility. We're going to jump from our article now to Leonard Lopate and his interview with Peter S. Goodman, author of Davos Man, How the Billionaires Devoured the World. Remember, this book is yours for a donation of just $75 to this great radio station, WBAI. You can make that $75 donation by calling 212-209-2950 or by visiting our website at give2wbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, wbai.org. We get to our interview.
With us now to discuss his new book, Davos Man, How the Billionaires Devoured the World. It's a history and critique of the way the wealthiest 1% of the world have systematically arranged the way societies operate in order to become even richer, and how that has worked to the detriment to the rest of us. His book is published by Custom House, which is an imprint of William Morrow, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show now. Hello.
Thanks very much for having me. Great to be here.
You focus largely on five men, private equity magnate Stephen Schwarzman, J.P. Morgan Chase executive Jamie Dimon, asset manager Larry Fink, Amazon's Jeff Bezos, and Salesforce founder and CEO Mark Benioff. Some of these names will be better known to the general public than the others. But one of them, Mark Benioff, seems to be really important here. And I don't think I was even aware of him before. Your opening chapter heading is, they write the rules for the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, these are people who are so wealthy and powerful that their wealth overflows jurisdictions, making it very difficult for any given country to regulate their operations. And, you know, I took the title from the World Economic Forum in the Swiss village of Davos, where every year there's this gathering of a lot of these guys, the wealthiest people on earth, heads of state, increasingly celebrities. And there's this sort of earnest program dedicated to the challenges of our time, all under the mantra committed to improving the state of the world, which is really kind of bitterly ironic, given that these guys are the great beneficiaries of the status quo. And they use their participation to signal that we can count on them to take care of life's problems, which then armors them to go and do what they really do, which is protect their own privileges, lobby against any changes to the status quo, seek out more tax cuts, more deregulation. Benioff, who, as you note, is the CEO of a Silicon Valley company called Salesforce, last year at Davos actually said CEOs are the heroes of the pandemic. You know, he wasn't talking about frontline medical workers. He wasn't talking about parents of children cooped up dealing with the horrors of distance learning or anybody else. You know, people emptying bedpans in nursing homes. CEOs, he said, and the government didn't save you. We did. And that just underscores how they use their wealth to signal that we can just count on them as the saviors of our society, while they're actually using that to prevent us from using our democracy to get something we want, like billionaires.
Hasn't he promoted himself as, quote, the most empathetic corporate chieftain? Although he's expressed a concern with homelessness, doesn't he take advantage of tax policies to prevent his earnings from ending up in government social programs?
Yeah, I mean, he's a complex character because, you know, a lot of billionaires use philanthropy to kind of shield themselves from taxation. Benioff's interesting because he's actually a very generous philanthropist. He tells this story. I mean, this is sort of a Silicon Valley cliche about how he founded his company. He goes to India when he's working for Oracle. He's having this kind of existential crisis. He meets a woman he describes as the hugging saint. She embraces him and tells him that the real meaning of his life is to make money and then give it back. So, you know, to his credit, he actually does set up a system where 1% of the company's revenues, 1% of staff time is dedicated to all kinds of philanthropic efforts. I mean, his employees have gone and worked as volunteers on the Tibetan plain. They've worked at refugee camps. They went to